Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we continue our season of Advent, as we continue this season that gives us hope and encourages us to prepare for all of the ways that Jesus comes into our lives. I'm so glad that you're here. If you're here with us in church, that's an absolutely fantastic thing. I love seeing you. If you're with us online, can't see you, but you can see us, and we're so happy you joined us. Now, as you may have seen on the way in, as a gift, there are ornaments available to you to use for your Christmas tree or however. I just found out that somebody was painting them as late as last night. Little inside joke from this side of the room. But they are available to you. If each of you, everyone here, please take one of these ornaments as a gift because we love having you with us. For those of you who are online, I can't get the ornament to you, but we really still think it's wonderful that you're with us as well. Sorry, Tommy, I can't get it. All right? Today, beginning at 6 o'clock, the youth group is having a Christmas to-do, a get-together. All youth between 7th and 12th grades are invited to join us here for our Christmas get-together. Christmas is coming, and with it comes Christmas worship. Next Sunday is December 24th. Next Sunday is also the fourth Sunday in Advent. So next Sunday morning, there is one service at 9:30, and PB&J will be helping to lead that worship. So thank you so very much for that, right? So, fourth Sunday of Advent, one service, 9:30 Sunday morning. But then that evening becomes Christmas Eve, and we have a 7 o'clock service. We have an 11 o'clock service as usual. I hope that you will be able to join us for one or both of those. And then Christmas morning, Monday, 9:30, we have a Christmas Day worship service. And so you are free to come to all of them because each will be a completely different service, all right? But I hope that you will come at least to one so that we can all join our voices in giving thanks and praise to God for the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you take a chance to read through them and discover ways you can connect to ministry around us. But we have gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us rise so that we may begin our worship with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We now join together in our confession for Advent. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
There is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love.
With him is great power to redeem.
It is God who will redeem us from all our iniquities.
Father,
to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now, will be forever. Amen. The Advent season reminds us that we live with joy. Joy as a fruit of the Spirit. Joy as one who discovers the kingdom of God. The good news of great joy for all people. Lord, fill us with joy as we remember Jesus coming and await his return. As we light the candle of joy, we recall your faithfulness and the joy you give your servants. You are a God who fulfills all promises, and our joy is in you alone. Amen. We join together now in our gathering song, Our God.
What do you turn into wine?
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may
sit. The first lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden cause what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at the 16th verse. Rejoice always, praise, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked them, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we met the weird John the Baptist, okay? He was the son of a priestly family, but instead of being in the temple or in Jerusalem, he was out in the wilderness wearing weird clothes, eating a weird diet. But John was also encouraging God's people to repent. And as strange as all of that was, Mark, the gospel writer, was also telling us that all of Jerusalem and all of the Judean countryside were flocking down to the river to hear John's message. He may have been weird, but he was effective. And John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus. So today we hear from St. John's gospel, and we are once again introduced to John the Baptist again. Now, St. John does not talk to us about how he was dressed or what his diet was. Instead, St. John tells us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. In this gospel reading, it is important for us to see and to hear that John the Baptist is sent by God, that John the Baptist is part of the plan. John the Baptist may not have been the light, but he was sent to prepare us all for that light. From St. Mark, we heard that John the Baptist was the voice of one in the wilderness. But in St. John's gospel this morning, we hear that claim from John himself. As John begins answering all of the questions and expectations that were coming to him. You see, that's what St. John's introduction to John the Baptist is really all about. It's about expectations and it's about questions. As the leaders of the Jewish people sent out priests and Levites and Pharisees, and they all come and they begin to ask John questions. They ask him, "Who are you?" You see, all of God's people have been waiting for the Messiah, the chosen one of God, who is going to lead all of God's people into righteousness. Now, many of the people who came to talk to John the Baptist, many of those folks who were asking this question, knew him from when he was growing up. They had stories. They knew his family. They were sitting by him in third grade or wherever it was. So they knew partially who John the Baptist was. But what they really wanted to know is, "Okay, John, are you the Messiah?" There were people who were coming to seek him out. There were people who were listening to his message. His message itself was changing lives. So these people want to know. And so John the Baptist tells them, "I'm not the Messiah." Now, I'm sure that some folks in that group breathed a sigh of relief. Whew. John the Baptist wasn't going to sort of join the Messiah of the Month Club. But there were others who didn't want to believe that he was not Messiah. John seemed to fit the bill. And then think about it. If John the Baptist was the Messiah, then the Messiah was going to come in their lifetime. That's kind of exciting. And so those who wanted John to be the Messiah were disappointed. But they still had a couple of extra questions. And so they asked him, "Okay, are you Elijah come back?" You see, there was another Old Testament prophecy that claimed that Elijah would return before the Messiah came. So if John isn't the Messiah, disappointing as that can be to some people, maybe, just maybe, he's Elijah. And John again says, no. John's sitting there destroying expectations left and right, and some still don't want to believe that. And so they ask then, are you the prophet? And again, John says, no. John the Baptist may have wanted to attract a crowd to himself, but he wasn't attracting that crowd to make claims for himself. So when the leaders ask him, who then are you? Who then do you say that you are? John answers. John the Baptist tells them and anyone else who is listening that he was the voice crying out in the wilderness. He was the voice preparing the way for the Messiah, for the one greater than he who is yet to come. John the Baptist began to explain to all that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, that he was there in the wilderness to point to the coming one. John was there to prepare for the true Messiah, who would bring good news to the oppressed, who would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and release prisoners. John was pointing to the one who brings comfort to all who mourn, which means then to all of us. John told them that into a world filled with the oppressed and brokenhearted, filled with mourners and captives, God's good news was coming. When you connect those messages we heard from Isaiah today with John's own message of repentance, those same leaders then wanted to know from John something else. Those who had wanted him to be Messiah or at least claim now wanted John to sort of sit down in the corner and be quiet. Because if John the Baptist isn't the Messiah, their question then was, then why is it that you're baptizing? Why are you proclaiming repentance, huh? Why are you doing all of this and telling people that the Messiah is coming to bring comfort and peace? Most of the people waiting for that Messiah wanted a Messiah with a sword to kick Rome out. Others wanted a fire and brimstone Messiah who would revitalize life in the temple. John's images were none of those things. John tells them all that his baptism with water was a commemoration of their decision to change their way of living. John went on to say that he was unworthy to know the coming one, and that that coming one, his baptism, would mark God's choice. It would mark our being named and claimed by God, and the Messiah's baptism would change lives for real. The leaders, the Levites, the Pharisees, most of them continued not to believe John the Baptist. In our gospel this morning, we hear that John the Baptist is sent by God to testify to the light, and that our lives right here, right now, are changed. But the truth is also that our lives right here and right now, we too have been sent by God to proclaim the good news and to point to Jesus. Like John the Baptist, we are not the light. But we get to testify to that light, and we get to shine with Christ's borrowed light as we are able. We who are oppressed by the world around us, we know the good news of Jesus in our lives. It's why we're here. We who are brokenhearted understand that Jesus binds us up and sets us on a path to new life. When we are captive to the temptations of the world around us and imprisoned by our sin, Jesus comes with liberty and release. When the world around us makes us mourn, Jesus stands by us with comfort. We know these things. We celebrate these things. I hope that you have all felt these truths in the moments of darkness and grief in your own lives, because these truths are what we get to point to. It is the love of God in Jesus Christ that we live and that we reveal. I'm not Jesus. I'm not even John the Baptist. I'm Steve the pastor, or Steve the husband, or Steve the father, or brother. And I have a mission to point to Jesus. You all have that same mission. We who have been loved by God get to share that love with as many people as we possibly can, wherever it is that we can. It's what we get to do. Whether it is Advent and Christmas, or a cold day in February, or a steamy hot day in August, or one of those just perfect days in October, we get to bring the love of God with us wherever we go. Some may believe us when we tell them or show them what God's love is really like. Others may never believe us. Some may want us to think that we're more than we are, and others are going to get angry when we say that it is Jesus who loves us all. Regardless of the reactions of other people, we are called to love as we are able, to point to Jesus, and to live as children of God. All of those things, all of those possibilities, all of that strength is a tremendous gift to us, to the world, and to our neighbors. So let's bring that gift to all around us. Amen. Please rise. I invite you now to confess with me our faith as we join together in the words we find in our Advent Creed. We believe in one God, who is Father and Creator, maker of all we see and all we don't see, who is ruler of the universe, source of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God and true human. He is one with the Creator, the Word made flesh, our Messiah, Savior of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Holy Spirit, breath of God moving among us, who is one with the Creator, one with the Christ, our Comforter and our Guide, Mentor of all creation. We believe in God's own Church, one holy Catholic and apostolic. We believe we are called to the communion of saints and receive the forgiveness of sin. We believe in the resurrection of the body and everlasting life. Amen. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration. Fill our mouths with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy as we bear witness to the great things you have done. Give your Church a spirit of gladness as we gather and as we are sent. Lord, in your mercy. Let the trees of the field sing your praise. Protect forests, orchards, rainforests, and all wooded areas from disease and deforestation. Keep us grateful for their gifts of oxygen, food, shade, and shelter. Lord, in your mercy. You love justice, and you promise your favor to those who are oppressed, brokenhearted, and incarcerated. Grant wisdom and compassion to those who work for public safety and all who work within prisons, jails, and courts, that mercy may increase and violence wither away. Lord, in your mercy. Give us strength to pray for our world without ceasing, and provoke us towards love and good deeds for all who are in need. Provide for all without adequate housing, food, employment, or access to health care. Empower us as helpers and advocates. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us, who need your wholeness. We pray for Dawn, Judith, Judy, Paul, Connie, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. Open our hearts to those who serve as truth tellers in our Church and in our society. Bless leaders in Church and society in their tasks of proclamation. Amplify voices of peacemakers, advocates, and especially those whose voices are ignored or marginalized. Lord, in your mercy. With gratitude, we rejoice in the saints who witnessed to your life in all circumstances, in whom your spirit was not quenched, even in death. Through them, teach us always to hold fast to what is good. Lord, in your mercy, listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Be people of hope, peace, and joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the peace of Christ with all that you meet. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share hope with all. So may the God of hope, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and be with you all. Amen. I hope you have a blessed week that's filled with joy as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.